Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.
Hello, little ones. We have a brand new way for you to be involved with the show and also be on the show. There's a new way for us to get audio and video comments from you guys, and it's called Yappa, Y-A-P-P-A. So go to ForteCatholic.com/Yappa, that's Y-A-P-P-A, and you can leave comments, suggestions, topic ideas, questions, whatever you want us to tackle on the show. I was going to say whatever you want us to tackle on the show, we'll do it. Within reason! But we are looking for content from you guys and for you guys to be a part of the show. So send us some stuff in over at ForteCatholic.com/Y-A-P-P-A. Now enjoy today's show. Felicitations, everyone. I'm Taylor Schroll. That is Olivia Newton-John. Olivia, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Taylor. How are you?
Why do you always do it so fake?
Just to get you to say something. I just want your attention, Taylor. I want your love and your attention.
I'm literally going to stare at you for the next hour. That's your biggest dreams come true.
This is it. I'm done. I don't even care that there's a pandemic because this is happening.
I just used a thesaurus. What's your favorite dinosaur?
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said.
Oh, boy, I hope not.
No, it really might be. Wait, did you actually use a real thesaurus or you used your phone?
What do you think?
You used your phone. You don't own books.
What's funny is I was looking to grab one and I can't find one.
There's no way they sell thesauruses anymore. How do you say that? Thesaurus?
I asked you a question. What's your favorite dinosaur?
Oh, I really like the Brachiosaurus.
I had bronchitis when I was younger. I didn't like it as much.
These are a lot of dad jokes for like the beginning of a show.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show, everyone. For all of you that just tuned out, now we're going to get started.
Really?
Liv.
Yeah.
I had a free Saturday. I had nothing to do on Saturday. And I kind of, you know, spent all this time with my family and I played video games and rest and relaxed. But there's a friend of mine that I just love and adore who lives about an hour and 15 minutes away from me.
Yeah.
So I drove an hour and 15 minutes to your house.
Yes.
To see Edmund Mitchell.
You jerk.
I love that guy. He's one of my favorite people alive.
You know what? I'm now getting DMs from people who just heard that. They're like, we love you, Liv. Don't listen to Taylor. Taylor's so mean. He's such a jerk to you.
Here's the thing.
You came to see Edmund. Listen, I know that's the truth. You think you're going to drive an hour 15 to see me? Come on. That's not happening.
Well, here's the thing. I drove an hour and 15 to see you a few months ago when you got into your new mansion, the new house that you love.
It's not a mansion.
You have all these rules. Oh, you're like, oh, you have to come see me, but we have to be in separate rooms because of the COVID, and you have to wear a mask, and oh, that mask isn't good enough. And
I yelled at you on Saturday. That might be the fussiest I've ever been to you.
You were like, oh, you can't be near me, but here's all of my food. Go make it yourself. I'm like, well, I'm touching all your food.
I ate my fig jam, by the way, and I even mailed you fig jam. You have your own, and you ate it.
You also, here's the thing. You sent me some things that I'm not sure were edible. So we all know that you are the wealthiest person on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, that's not true. Stop it.
Well, if it's not true, it's only a competition between you and Allison, and you love being in competition with Allison.
Okay, what? You triangulate. You love putting me and her
against
each other.
Never
we love
put
each
you
other.
Two against together.
Allison and I love each other. Is she the hot one? Sure. But that's fine. You want me to be the wealthy one? Okay. That's because she has five kids. Whatever. She married a doctor. I have half a kid. Wealthy. You're ridiculous.
This you is have half major. A kid. It's wait.
200 square feet. That's what is wrong with you?
Yeah, almost double my house. You have two kids and you just said you have half of one. So it's which joke, kid Taylor. Did you completely disown and which do you only half love?
Obviously, Zachary. And everyone loves Kana. She's everyone's favorite. She's going to have both our jobs one day. She's the best.
She is kind of half a person. Okay. like in all episodes with you, we just opened up all the threads and I have to do the job of walking it all back. So we're going to walk back, okay? So starting from the end, this is how you know who's winning the competition. Because Allison never brings up any competition with you, and you bring it up all the time, which means you're losing.
I'm not bringing anything up! I just said I love Allison!
Working back even further...
Oh my gosh.
You sent me some food, because you...
I did.
The whole thing on Saturday was I was supposed to surprise you, and then your life fell apart, and I couldn't surprise you anymore, but I came anyway. I was going to surprise you by showing up, and then you were like, hey, I'm sending you something, so like whenever we have this meeting, you can enjoy the same things that we're enjoying. And because you're way more bougie than me, your words, not mine, you sent me something that I never knew existed. I have eaten fish. I like fish. I'm a big fan of tilapia. That's what poor people eat.
Stop.
I love
they
tilapia.
Eat catfish.
No, catfish is way too decadent for me.
Is it? I don't know. I'm from Louisiana. Sure. I always ate fried catfish. I have no idea. I don't eat fish, so I have no idea what people eat. That's
so
the truth.
So you sent me something you hate. Awesome. We'll get into that.
I know you would love it, because I hate it. Yeah.
No, well, here's the thing, is I didn't love it, and but at the same time, I can't say I didn't love it because I didn't try it because I'm terrified of what you sent me. I've had fish before. I've had cooked fish, and I love sushi. I'm a big fan of, like, uncooked food, I guess, right? But you sent me something I never knew there was a middle. I knew there was raw, and I knew there was cooked. You sent me something. You sent me this box, and it was very generous of you.
Harry and David. It's Harry and David.
Sure, whatever. They're not sponsors. So you sent me cheese. The cheese was like they had cooling packs to keep it cold. You sent me something else that had cooling. I think it was the wine.
Wine.
Was a little chilled.
A bottle of wine.
The one thing that wasn't chilled is the thing that I think should have been chilled. It was the fish. And the reason it wasn't chilled is because it's smoked fish. I just learned about this. And
from my kid, my 17-year-old.
Yeah, well, he thinks he taught me a lot Saturday, and I just tuned him out after a while.
He's very 17.
He is. He's like, I was just like, man, like, I was annoyed at some point because I wasn't annoyed at him. I was annoyed realizing how adults had to interact with me when I was 17 because I was the same as that kid, you know, like just have opinions on all the things I just learned about yesterday. You know, like I just loved it. It was good.
Yes.
I like that.
Very
kid.
17.
But you sent me this fish that I don't think I can eat it. I'm sure you spent a lot of money on it, but I don't think I can eat it because I'm not sure what it is.
I had to sell one of my Teslas just to send you this box from Harry.
I was real worried about what you were going to say.
Guys, I don't own a Tesla. I just want to fan the flame of this fantasy that Taylor has about this. Can I tell them what it was? It's smoked fish, and Taylor is acting like I sent him. I went to Alaska, I plucked out a salmon from the claws of a bear, and I stuck it in a foil pack, and I put it in a wood crate, and I mailed it to his house.
Is that what I made it sound like? Because
that
if I
exactly
did, I was mistaken.
How I heard it. That's
I
exactly
never pictured you fighting a bear ever. Now, at some points, I wish I sometimes picture a bear fighting you, but that's a whole other thing.
I said smoked salmon, and this whole box came with these wonderful, like flatbreads kind of cracker things that are like sea salted and then a jar of fig jam, which is like my favorite thing on the planet. And then like this artichoke pesto situation. So you're supposed to take the fish and eat it with the, I even know what to do and I don't even eat fish, and put it with the flatbread, like put it on the cracker. Taylor, It's salmon. It's smoked. They've done it since Little House on the Prairie. Since like the 1800s in a barrel. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, though. It's like the like people were like, oh, this is what they did 300 years ago. I'm like, we've evolved. So like, why are we doing this? Why are rich people doing the things that the poorest people did 300 years ago?
The poor are always brilliant. No one gives them credit. You're the worst. You know what? Fine. Go give that salmon to someone else. Not me. I don't need. Go give it to Allison. Tell her she won.
There's a dog in my neighborhood, I'm sure.
I can't believe you're not even going to try it. Sam won't try it. Give it to a kid. Let somebody try it.
I don't want anyone in my family to get sick.
Yes, Harry and David has made a living on sending smoked salmon so people get sick. You're hilarious. Anyway, next time I'll send you pears. I'll send you something really boring.
Thank you.
I was trying to be nice for the meeting. But yes, you did come in and you surprised me. And you surprised Edmund, who you two have an adorable bromance. It was like watching Matt Damon and what's his face, like in real life, or Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake. It was beautiful. It was this beautiful, cute little, y'all held hands and skipped through the forest. It was really precious to watch.
There are two people that are matched with Matt Damon.
Oh,
and I
Ben
really
Affleck.
Want to know. Okay,
Ben
okay,
Affleck.
Okay.
Wait, because who's the other one?
I figured that's what you were
yeah,
thinking.
Yeah, I meant Ben
but
Affleck.
I think
yeah.
we're more like Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel. I'm Jimmy Kimmel
are
and
they
he's
a thing?
Matt Damon.
Oh.
Do you not know? For 10 years, Jimmy Kimmel has not allowed Matt Damon on the show, and he keeps sneaking on the show. That's Edmund and I's relationship.
That's cute. Okay, well, y'all can be them. Yeah, you didn't write an Oscar-winning film with Edmund. Not yet. So yeah, we'll do that relationship. That's perfect. But y'all were really cute. It was fun to watch. It was nice. It was a nice little, you brought joy, even though I yelled at you. That is the fussiest I've ever gotten you. I think the listeners would have actually loved all of that because I was like, mama bear.
It was so funny because like literally anytime I would walk, I was like the puppet master and you were on the strings, and which is what I always desire, right? And every time I got up, I would take a step towards you. You had to get up out of your comfy chair and move away because you wanted to maintain, the CDC says 6 feet, you wanted 60.
Can I? You're so funny. And I didn't want to be a jerk and be mean and say all these things to you.
Oh, you didn't want to? Wow,
no.
That didn't work out well.
Yeah, okay, until you started pushing me, but here's the reason why. I have diabetes. I have type 2 diabetes. I've been a diabetic, which here's what's fascinating. I've had diabetes for 22 years, which is a long time to have this
yeah,
disease.
Yeah, fascinating.
You're the worst. So I'm over here saying to this kid, Taylor, who's 9, hey, like, you can't hug me. You can't be by me. Like, I'm the person they're talking about on the news. You can get COVID and be fine. He probably has COVID and he's probably fine and asymptomatic and licks things.
I've got the antibodies. I could have made you stronger.
You're the worst. I'm over here. All I said was, I don't have the luxury to get sick. I don't. And here's the other thing I was trying to explain to Taylor. I've been
yes,
sick.
Yes, that's the thing we've all realized today is that you don't have luxury in your life for sure.
Oh, I don't have the privilege of being sick. I pay someone else to be sick for me.
Me. It was me. I got it.
So yes, I was a little feisty because you don't want to talk about it because we don't talk about this. But I spent my entire life being very, very ill. And so the last thing I want is to be sick. So yes, I am being very cautious.
Well, let's talk about my problems. Let's do that. Because I'm perfectly fine talking
that.
About my problems on the show.
Perfect.
So, I come to your house. Mainly just to hang out. Your life was falling apart, so I came to save you. I'm like,
oh my
Jesus
gosh.
In this scenario. Santo subito, immediately.
We could use
thesaurus in Latin. What's the thesaurus word for santo subito?
Thesauria.
Sure. I don't know what that means, and I don't think you do either.
Thesauria. That sounds really good.
You didn't hear the question. I just realized what you're doing, and you definitely are answering a question that was not asked. So I'm just chilling at your house. I just came to hang out. I was already planning on coming, and then you were like, oh, no, don't come. We don't want you. I'm like, well, I'm coming anyway.
And Edmund said it. Don't throw me under the bus.
Yeah, you and Edmund didn't want me there. I felt great about that after I planned my whole day around it.
We didn't.
So I showed up
coming.
Anyway. Because I've built my entire life around being places that I'm not wanted. So I figured, what's another day doing that? So
you're the
I drove
worst.
Down. And we're having a good time. Edmund built this beautiful studio for you, which, by the way, one of the primary reasons I showed up was so that we could have it work for this show. And if you're watching on YouTube, you could see this is not the fancy new studio. So I don't know why I went. I really, really don't. You sent me a text like while we were there, we did a test recording for what today's show would be like. And everything worked perfectly. And you sent me a text yesterday. And you were like, the electrical audio doesn't work. And I'm like, I'm not even going to try to fix it because I was literally there and everything worked.
I did write the electrical audio does not work. And Taylor wrote back, LOL.
And I just went to bed. I just didn't have energy for anything else. I just went to sleep. I was like, I just can't do this. We'll do it the old school way.
I don't know things, Taylor.
It's obvious. Why I showed up. But whatever. You broke it after I left. So
an electrician is coming tomorrow. No, poor Edmund was here till 8 p.m. last night. Drove to Dallas, which is 4 hours. They texted me like almost midnight saying we just got home. So he worked all day yesterday trying to fix it, but we have an electrician coming tomorrow. I don't know what happened. Something about breaker. I don't know. Yeah. The electrical audio.
You've broken me, that's for sure. Break him. So I'm there. We're all just kind of hanging out. And I like it when we both just cleared our throat. We're radio professionals. I don't know what I was trying to say. We're broken this morning. So I'm sitting at your house. We're all hanging out. You know, everybody else is fine. You're standing next to Edmund without his mask. But me, I need to be 60 feet away.
That is not true.
Oh, it was 100% true. I noticed it a bunch of times.
Not even close to true.
So he's building the studio and everything's pretty much done when I arrive, which is when I like to arrive.
Yeah, your timing was impeccable. You're like, I'm here, everybody. And Edmund's like, click, and we're done. Like, that poor boy had been working for like 4 days. It's awesome.
And it's great. And people need to go follow at the Liv Harrison on Instagram and you'll see the whole studio. It's very nice.
It's really cool.
But I thought I came at the right time because it looked like everything was done. And then you spent like I am not exaggerating. I had to think about it and like be like, okay, what time did I start texting this person? What time did I finish? You spent 45 minutes trying to buy furniture. It was 45 minutes.
That was
trying
not to buy my furniture. Fault.
You were on your phone and I got to watch you fall apart. Usually my role in your life is you fall apart and then you call me, so I don't get to see the process. I just see from like jumping off of a cliff to like, let's calm down.
You're the worst.
And I fix everything in your life, right?
Oh my gosh, this is killing me right now. What?
I got to watch you fall apart in front of my eyes. Because you were all happy and fine. Everybody's here to see Olivia. Everything's great. Your whole garage is being transformed. But you can't get the sofa you want. And I watch you just crumble. Just watched you crumble.
I am so mad at you.
You kept trying to buy, you know, you're trying to spend so all this. You spent your husband's money every 10 minutes while I was there. And I'm watching you try to buy this IKEA stuff, which I didn't know rich people shopped at IKEA. So that was news to me.
And they told me to shop there. I've never shopped at IKEA in my life.
Exactly. Point proven.
I was doing what Edmund said. And Edmund was like, here you go. Here's my phone. Fill up the cart. And I'll go pick it up, blah, blah, blah. So I do. And when I'm doing it, it's like, we will be delivering this on Valentine's Day. On what, Easter? What? Holiday. Halloween. It's like, we will deliver this on October 31st. And I'm like, Edmund, I don't understand. It keeps saying that they're going to deliver it. And so he was going back into the app and everything. And it kept registering for Frisco, Texas. I don't live in Frisco, Texas. I live 4 hours away from Frisco, Texas. So I get another phone and I fill up the cart again. And again, it does this whole thing. We'll deliver on Halloween. Or you could pick it up here in Frisco, Texas. And I'm like, OMG. Like, what is the deal? Why can we not? It's 2020. You can pick up everything everywhere now. So I should be able to, like, seriously, anything. You could register and then you could just curbside the world. And it wouldn't do it. And so I did not care about the couch. You're ridiculous.
I watched first world problems completely crumble you from great mood to like literally you left. You went inside. You left the vicinity. You went inside. And I was like, I'm going to let it cool down. And then I'm going to go fix the problem. Because that's what I'm here for in your life is to fix all your problems.
That is true. That is the only reason you're in my life. So,
well, thank you. I understand that. And it's perfectly fine. Just keep the money coming. So I walk exactly. in the house.
Nothing can happen to Nathan. No one wants Nathan to die. All my friends need Nathan to stay alive.
100%. He is 100% the best Harrison. So, and then it's Kana, and then it's up. It's you and your son. It
depends
are
on who's talking between yeah. me and Nate. Exactly. Yeah,
whichever one is talking is in last.
Right. So that's exactly right.
So I walk in your house. I get this brash idea, and I'm like, Edmund's like, we should just go pick it up. And I'm like, well, my car can't hold it. I've got a Prius. You know, and he's like, his car, like his wife needed his car. Right. So like, you know, you have 8 cars because you're wealthy. I literally drove up and I'm like, who all's here? Like, I thought it was just Edmund and his wife. And you're like, oh, yeah, we own all these cars. So I walk in the house.
You're the worst.
And I'm like, I just walk in. And I didn't know how this was going to go. But this is how it went. I walked in and I said, give me your husband's keys. Give me your husband's credit card. And we'll return with all of the stuff that you want. And within 60 seconds, I was in the truck and we were driving away. I can't believe.
I can't either.
I can believe I had the credit card. That truck is worth more than my life.
It's a brand new F-150. It's a King Ranch. It's gorgeous. It's his dream car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's a year old. And I, when you said that, I was thinking, I don't get to drive the truck. I was like, and I live with him, you know, and I'm nice to him. And yeah, I kiss his face. And I was like, what have
I don't
you
know
done?
If you're nice to him. I think we're playing 2 truths and a lie. And I think 2 of those things were true and 1 was a lie.
I was like, yeah, sure. Nathan's going to give you his truck and his credit card. I was thinking, what planet do you live on? You and Edmund, I was thinking, there's no way. This is like, seriously, it's like a fraternity coming by saying, hey, could we use your house for a weekend party? And us being like, sure, that'd be great. And then packing up a duffel bag and leaving for the weekend. I couldn't believe it. I literally was like, Nathan's going to first hate me because this man is building me a TV studio, basically. It's like a legit studio. And he said all this other stuff. We've got people here at the house working today. We've got an architect flying in. I was like, the last thing he's going to do.
Okay, we don't need the list proving how rich you are. Let me tell my story.
No. It's things we have to do. It's like actual things we have to do.
Okay, you're done.
This is not a thing.
We have to end the segment. Let me finish my story. Stop talking about how rich you are.
I'm not. So, I'm saying this is not important.
All right, you're muted. All right, so I get in the truck. And literally, I realized at that moment that literally everyone at that house was there solely to make you happy and keep you happy. This is the moment I realized it, because I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to go for asking for the truck and the credit card. I got it. I got in the truck. And at that moment, I realized I had made a huge mistake. I have not been as anxious and stressed as I was driving that truck for 40 minutes each way in Houston, because that truck is literally worth more than me alive.
That's like, not true.
I was driving the truck. It was so anxious. I didn't know how to work it. There's so many buttons. Like, rich people's trucks just do different things that I don't even know are possible. And it's doing stuff. And it's like, here's an alert. And I'm like, sure. I don't know what that alert means, though. So we're just going to keep going. And we drive there. And I think, okay, I'm going to IKEA for the first time. This has got to be something cool, right? I get to IKEA. There's 1,300 people in the parking lot. There's a double inside. The building is super tall and huge. And, like, we were packed in like sardines. So, like, you know how you wanted people to be 60 feet from you at the house? I just wanted 6 inches to myself. Like, there's so many people in there. They're super stressful. I'm not good at, like, manly stuff. So, like, the whole IKEA is like, this is how you build things. And I'm like, I'm just feeling so, like, insufficient because I can't do anything in this building. Edmund, who is good at building things, he leaves me. So I have flashbacks to my dad leaving me in like hardware stores. He's like, hey, here, do this thing. And I'm like, dad, you left me to Edmund. You know, I'm like, so I'm like cold sweating and like anxious and I'm lost inside of IKEA. And then, everything's fine because we leave. Like, all I want to do is leave. We were in there for an hour and a half to get, like, six things. It was unbelievable. I have to get in the car and drive back. And, like, Edmund was like, before we left, we're going to spend all this quality time together. And I can't even hold up conversation because I'm like, I just don't want to wreck this truck. At that point, I'm not even caring about my own life. Like, I wasn't even thinking that if we get in a wreck, I might die. I was just like, I might dent this truck and then I'll want to die, So... All that Taylor. Being said, we were all anxious and nervous and scared at times, all to make and keep you happy. And that's all everyone in that house did all weekend.
You're
and
the
I realized
worst.
That's how your husband lives all the time.
Taylor! You know what Nathan said to me right before we started recording? He goes, I hope Taylor's nice to you today. And I said, well, that's a big hope. I was like, it's not going to happen. First of all, I was going to say something nice about you. I was going to say you did a great job. The truck was fine. You did great. And you and Edmund did a great job picking out all the things. And I just want to put on the record, I did not say that we had to get all this stuff. Edmund wanted to see a finished product. He wanted to see the studio done. I didn't
care.
Well,
it's not done. You're recording in a closet.
So it was not about my happiness. I felt bad because Edmund had this vision. And I wanted his vision to happen. And so anyway... There you go. You did a great job. And I'm going to be nice to you, even though you're choosing
2020
not.
Vision, I would have stayed home on Saturday.
You would not.
No, seeing Edmund was worth it. Well, we're going to keep this thing of Taylor being anxious going because we're going to take a little break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how I got the cops called on me this week. Don't go anywhere. We are. We've spent some time together today, and I hope that you've been enjoying it. If you've made it this far, I would say that you probably are enjoying it, or you're at least thinking, I'm going to stick around and see if the next segment is any better. Either way, you're here. So if you could please do a couple of things for us. One, if you're listening on the podcast, hit the subscribe button so that every episode just automatically downloads. It's a huge help for us, and it makes sure that you'll never miss a show. If you're listening on YouTube, watching us, hello, I'm beautiful today. Just give us a subscribe. That would be great. Hit the little subscribe button, the bell button. It notifies you whenever we have new shows, new videos, all that stuff. And if you're listening on one or the other and have not talked about the other, do the other. That sentence made a lot of sense, and I hope that you got it. Okay, bye. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Schmoll, and that is Olivia Jessica Harrison. Yeah, that's gross. It's real gross.
That's disgusting. That's repulsive.
Olivia Eugene Harrison. We're getting back to the real thing. Olivia Eugene is my favorite.
That's fine. So, I'll take that.
I left a big tease at the end of the last segment. I most definitely had the cops called on me.
On purpose? Like legit?
Like, not on purpose, but yes, legit.
Like, they came to your house, to your home?
They didn't end up showing up, but they were definitely called. Okay.
I'm ready.
So, it gets worse. They were called because I set off the alarm at my old place of business.
Where is that?
A Blaze. So, I worked at a Blaze for the first 5 years that I lived in this city. I left it when COVID happened.
Okay.
And I've been working for Forte Catholic full time. But I didn't set off any Forte Catholic alarms because God knows we don't have any because we don't have anything worth stealing. I was leading, I lead a boys Bible study. They're very small men. They're juniors in high school. Most of them are larger. They're taller than me, but I have much more girth because they're still youthful. I tell them all they're going to look like me in 10 years, and they're all like, they used to laugh, and now they're like, man, he's right. The older they get, the more they're like, wow, we've seen all of our friends do this.
That's hilarious.
So I lead this Bible study, and we meet at this place at the Catholic school that I've worked at for years. But because I no longer work there in the capacity that I used to, I had to give back a lot of my keys. So I only have my coaching keys now. I don't have the keys to like the Jesus buildings because, I quit on Jesus or whatever. So
Taylor.
I need the keys to the Jesus building. And I'm like, when I go pick up my kids from school, I'm going to swing by the Ablaze office. One of my best friends, Sarah, is the youth minister. She's like the person in charge of this whole thing. So I just need the keys, and I forgot to go get them. So I texted her. I'm like, I just got home. I don't want to drive all the way back to like almost literally the same place that I just was. Can you just hide them for me? Can you leave them somewhere for me outside the Ablaze office? I'll come get them. And she hides them in a bush. And a bush has, it looks the same all the way around, right? Like you've seen it.
Yeah.
So she takes a picture. It's like, hey, it's in the corner, but it's a rectangle. So I don't know which corner. None of the leaves look particularly different. So I spent 4 minutes on my hands and knees, like digging in this bush. Like it literally looks like I'm trying to break into this place. You know, like I don't know what's going on. And the neighbors are confused because they used to see me all the time. Now they don't see me. And now I'm digging. You know,
like, right. Like you're an angry post worker and you're like coming back for revenge.
Right. Right.
No, you left. Yeah.
So I finally find the keys. And then I go to the place, we have our Bible study, and then I go back and I'm like, oh, like I'll just put them back where I found them because she won't have to dig for them. She knows where that she put them. So if I just put them back exactly where I put them or where she put them, it'll be fine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just going to return things where I found them. That's
yes.
What I was taught. But I was also taught to be super loving, especially yeah. To those who love you, because that's the best. So
I can see that's worked out well.
I love Sarah. Sarah loves me. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do something extra loving. Like she's a fine young woman. She doesn't need to be digging around in these bushes. There's a mail slot like in the door. So I'm just going to push the keys through the mail slot. I push the keys through the mail slot to be loving to my friend. And the alarm goes off because of the noise. The keys hit the ground and the alarm goes.
And set it off.
And because I used to work there, I know that when the alarm goes off, the police get called.
Right, so, that's how they work. Yeah, alarm.
So I call my old boss and I say, he said, hey, buddy, what's up? I'm eating dinner. And I'm like, the police are coming and they're about to call you because I know also that that's the process.
Right.
So the police call him. He calls the police off. And I'm like, so then I have to drive over, get his keys.
Oh, my gosh.
Drive back over, unlock the building, unset and reset the alarm, because even though I'm not an employee, I know all the codes. So I take the keys that I dropped in the mail slot and I return them to Sarah's desk. I put them on the desk, which is the most loving thing I could do. She left them for me outside in a bush. I left them on her desk. So I went through all that trouble to be loving to my friends. And like, I know that you recognize how loving I am to all
I was just sitting here thinking like, is that what all this has been for this last year and a half is love? Is that what this is? Because you're so bad at it. That's great, well, Taylor.
See, Jesus says that like, we should love our enemies.
Right.
That's difficult. Because he says, even the pagans, even the worst people love those who love them. Sarah's really good at loving me. She's so loving. You, on the other hand, you're a little bit more difficult. So it's a little bit more difficult to love you.
To love me. I am difficult to love. That's what we've learned over this year and a half. Liv is difficult to love. Well, that's good to know.
100%. So I text Sarah and I call her. She doesn't answer. And she says, what? I said, well, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that I did something very loving for you. I put your keys back on your desk. How did you pull off this miracle, you ask? Well, I first returned the keys in the mail slot. This set off the alarm in the office. Wonderful times. But don't worry. Your keys are on the desk because I love you. So I went through all of that in my evening just to be loving to my friend. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I should send her smoked salmon.
She won't eat it. For 100%. I know her so well. She would not eat it. You know what? I'll offer her the ones that you sent me.
You should.
And see what happens.
See what she says. Give her the fig jam. Yeah. No. Oh, geez. Well, I'm glad that you figured out how to not get called by the police. That's really funny, though. That's really, really funny. That's where that whole, like, no good deed goes unpunished kind of a thing. And that's how
100%.
People. 100%. Well, totally. People believe that. And it's hard. It's like when you leave confession and all of a sudden you, like, stub your toe or drop, like, a can of beans on your foot. I don't know. Like, random stuff will happen. And then you're like, blah, blah. Like, you just say, like, horrible words. You're like, oh, my gosh, I just walked out of confession. Like, right. It's already over. I was shiny for 3 seconds, you know?
Right.
It's awful.
I've got a few stories right along those lines. And you set me up perfectly for that, and you didn't even realize it.
You set
me up perfectly in two ways. Okay. With the premise of what you were talking about, like, you know, coming out of confession, that sort of thing. But also with the word beans. You said the word beans, which is a miracle, because 100% you don't know what I'm ever going to talk about next because you don't care. So this story revolves around Taco Bell, which is a seller of beans.
Yeah.
And is also a place. I'll just tell the story and everyone will see how it connects.
Perfect.
So Friday night, the day before the police got called on me, we had our football game and we're playing this team from my hometown, which was a lot of fun. So my hometown team had to come up here and they're, let's just say they're not very good. They're not a great football team this year. Let's qualify it as much as we can. So we came in knowing that we were going to win. Our kids came in knowing that we were going to win. We won 55-6 in the third quarter because we have a mercy rule, 45 points. At halftime or later, and the game's over. So we scored, game was over. I was fuming the whole game. We played our worst game. We won 55-6. I was fuming. You know how, like, you can, like, play down to competition, like, if the competition's not as good?
Yeah.
Like, we have kids who are tremendous athletes. No one ran more than 70%, like, speed.
Don't you think that's because they went in with the mindset of knowing we're going to annihilate this team, so we don't need to try or care? Wouldn't you 100%. Have done that, Taylor? That sounds like a very Taylor reaction.
No.
Not as an athlete?
Think about who I am.
Yeah, with. Taylor is an athlete. Got
take
it.
A moment.
Got
no,
it.
Think about who I am as a person. What do you think I did to lesser competition?
Oh, yeah, that's fair. You disemboweled.
I crushed them and I let them know it.
Yeah, you put them in a tree trimmer. Yeah, got it. I understand.
So... I'm frustrated. Like lack of effort drives me crazy. Like, if people aren't as skilled, that's one thing. You can't be mad about that. You can help them work and get better just as a coach. But lack of effort is what drives me insane. And we had a bunch of kids who are tremendous athletes. Some of the best players on our team that just weren't giving the effort that they should. Making bonehead plays, like literally over and over again. I'm pulling them out because they have one job. They did the one thing wrong over and over and over again. When they know better, they can do better. And, like, I'm just frustrated because I know that they can do it. They've done it perfectly earlier times in the day, last week, the week before. Like, we're undefeated. Like, we're having a good season. I've watched them do it correctly, and they're just consistently doing it wrong. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm so frustrated. And so here I am after the game, me and the other coaches, like I'm fuming. They're like, a little frustrated, but I'm just like,
so angry.
Yeah.
Like the Hulk.
And I'm like, we won 55-6 and didn't even play the whole game. And I'm so frustrated. So finally I'm driving home and it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night and I haven't eaten dinner. So I'm like, okay, I need to go get some food. And I made the poor choice of going to Taco Bell. So I go to Taco Bell, and I go through the drive-thru because they're like, dining room's not open because they don't want to be around me either. They're very much, you're very much like Taco Bell.
I've told people. I've sent out your photo.
So yeah, exactly. I posted up there, yeah. Along with the police wanted post.
Dripping with COVID, this guy. You probably are.
No, I got dripping with antibodies. So
jeez.
I go through the drive-thru. Drive-thru takes like 20 minutes. I order my food and I get exactly what I want. And it's one of those things that, like, I was so frustrated that I didn't want to eat, but I knew I was hungry. I don't know if that makes sense. So, like, even, like, deciding where to go,
yeah.
I didn't want to go anywhere, so I picked Taco Bell, which, you know, right. Great choice.
Right.
You? So I go there. I order what I want. It's one of those things. Even when I get there, I'm staring at the menu. I'm like, I don't want any of this.
I hate all of it.
Yeah.
I'm angry.
So I finally figure out what I want. I order. I get my food. The lady's so nice. And then I'm driving home. And as I'm driving home, I'm listening to our friend, Father Anthony, on his other little podcast, Clerically Speaking. And he's talking about how in spiritual direction, anytime he does spiritual direction for anybody, he waits till like the third or fourth session. And he just listens. Good spiritual directors listen. And then they'll chime in when they need to. But I'm paraphrasing. Hopefully, after I tell the story, you'll want to go listen. It's the latest episode of Clerically Speaking. Go listen to it. Father Anthony's, He's all right sometimes without me, but obviously tremendous on this show. So he's okay sometimes. He says some okay things without my supervision every now and then.
You're
so
hilarious.
He's talking about this, and like three or four sessions in, they finally get to the point. Because I don't know about, have you gone to spiritual direction?
I have. Yeah, I have it. Currently, I have a spiritual director. I actually just saw him.
Every time I go to spiritual direction, I feel worse about myself because it's the time that I have to sit down for an hour. It's not my spiritual director's fault. Well, one of my spiritual directors of the past was 100% his fault. But it's like I have to take stock of myself for the last month. And I'm like, man, I'm not that good. You know, and like, I just feel real bad about myself. And like, my spiritual director's like, it's okay, buddy. Like, God still loves you. And I'm like, yeah, but does he? And
should he? I'm now questioning like, God.
should he? Does he? Do I? You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I'm getting out of this. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, people are beating themselves up. And he's like, this is the pretty typical thing. I'm like, okay, he's not my spiritual director, but that's me. And he said something so simple, and it's one of those things that, like, you know, you've had God moments before where like you felt God's presence, or you felt like he was sharing something with you. And I have too, but it's been quite some time. It's been a few months. You know, I'm sure people keeping a ticker board at home can remember the last episode. It's probably 40 episodes ago that I was like, hey, I felt the call from God today.
I would love it if someone actually had that board at home. If you do, I want a photo and I want you to send it.
It's 210 episodes and there's two tick marks for the 2 days it happened.
Since Taylor had a God moment. It's like one of those, right. Nobody got hurt at the workspace yet.
Oh,
today.
You used our that joke safety. Saturday too and nobody heard it, so you're reusing it. I like that.
Did
so,
I?
100%. 100%.
Didn't remember.
It's only your subconscious is smarter than you are. Your subconscious remembered it.
There you go.
But I'm hearing this podcast while I'm driving home, and essentially, like, I'm about to tear up because he's like, essentially, people realize that they don't accept God's love for them. It's like they might know God loves them, but they don't accept it. And I'm like, you're right. I don't, you know, and I'm like, I know you do, but I don't like me so much that I put that on you, you know, and like he said all these other things. And it was just this 10 minutes of just like truly feeling God talking to me through that shaggy haired Italian Father Anthony, you know, and he's going to hear this and be super upset that I brought it up. But you did something good, Father Anthony. None of us like ourselves. It's fine. So,
Father Anthony's amazing.
So I'm tearing up. I was probably because I was just so I'm feeling all the emotions
yeah,
all at once.
A lot of
super
feelings.
Frustrated.
Yeah, you have a lot of feelings. And Taco Bell.
Hunger and confusion on what to order at Taco Bell. And then love and sadness all at the same time. You know, it's like, I didn't accept that God loves me, so I don't like me, but also God likes me now, and I'm very, you know, very, I get home, and I'm feeling all this love, you know, like, if it was like that moment, like, you know, I'm getting home to my wife and the baby, because, you know, the baby's the only one that's awake at 10 o'clock at night, like, she puts my wife to sleep half the time, and then I put her to bed when I get home, you know, she just runs the house alone for
she
a
does,
while sometimes,
yes.
She's very self-sufficient.
So
more
cute.
Self-sufficient than you are.
That's
for being
true.
Honest.
That's why I'm her biggest fan. I love that kid.
She's great.
She's great.
So just loving and hugging on her. And it was just this beautiful moment. And I'm just like, man, like, this is good. And then so I'm like, okay, Felicity, come here. And like, you know, she usually goes to sleep. Like, I'll just watch TV and she'll go to sleep. So like, and if I'm eating dinner, like, she'll just play while I'm eating dinner. And then when I'm done eating dinner, I'll pick her up and she'll conk out within like 2 minutes. Right. So I sit down, and just after all this beautiful moment, I go, I sit down, and I turn on the TV. I open up my Taco Bell bag. I had ordered four things. There were two things in my bag, neither of which I ordered. I spent like $15 at Taco Bell and got $2.50 worth of food. So immediately the anger returned, ruining this beautiful moment. I'm mad. I was being so loving. I was letting my wife go to sleep so that I could be with the baby, having this beautiful moment, loving on her. And I'm just fuming immediately. Like, everything's gone wrong tonight. And then everything went right. And now everything's back to going wrong. I have to it's like that decision fatigue. I couldn't make a decision. I just sat there fuming for 5 minutes. Like, am I just going to order food and pay for it? I called Taco Bell five times. They didn't answer. I'm like,
just
am I really going to,
yeah, out of a can.
Am I really going to drive back up there And like, I know that the inside's closed. I'm gonna have to sit in that freaking drive-thru again to get my food. They're gonna spin at it, and they're not gonna believe me. Like, all this stuff's happening. I finally make the decision. I'm so upset. I go, my wife isn't asleep yet, like, but she's, you know, in bed resting. I bring the baby to her. I'm like, I'm leaving. I get the car. I bring it back. I go. I drive to Taco Bell, and I'm not sitting in that line. I walk up and I go knock on the door. I'm like, not banging on the door, but like, hey, you gave me the wrong food. They're like, get in line. And I'm like, I'm gonna hurt you. You know?
This is like 11 o'clock at night. Like, this is like late now. Oh, so now you're crazy. This is not the story when the cops were called, because I feel like this should be when the cops were called.
I end this segment with the cops are calling me again.
Yeah, seriously. I'm waiting for it.
I'm in line, and I have to sit in this carpool, or the, not carpool.
Carpool.
Whatever. I'm just fine with it. I'm
Who's
sitting in the carpool
now?
Line.
You're like, I don't want to sit in lines.
No, I'm not. I'm a human person.
You're hilarious.
So
yes,
I
back
sit
in the
line. I knock. He's like, you know, you have to go get in line. I go get in line. And he has he knows I'm the car there. And he goes, hi, welcome to Taco Bell. How can I serve you? You gave me the wrong food. I just told you that through the closed door. Why are you asking me? He said, sir, what did you order? Or he said, what did we give you? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm not a Taco Bell food identifier. I just know that it's not what you gave me. So he's like, what did you order? And I'm like, this and this. And he's like, I get there and he's like, I'm like, here, this is what you gave me. And he's like, we can't take it back. And then I'm like, well, you wanted me to prove it, so I don't know what you want from me. And then he's like, well, here's your food. No offer for money back, no gift card, nothing free. I just spent an hour and 15 minutes to get Taco Bell, which I didn't even really want in the first place.
That's so funny.
And it completely ruined my moment with Tom.
Even Father Anthony couldn't save you.
I know. The best thing that he said was ruined within 10 minutes.
That's hilarious. But you did get two extra Taco Bell items.
I threw it away. I don't know what they are.
Which I love that you never actually said the word beans in this scenario. I've been waiting for you to say.
I don't order things with beans in them, but I'm pretty sure the two things that were given to me were just tortillas and beans.
That
would have
been
what I ordered.
Order. That's what my family, can I tell you, that's my family's favorite place to eat for fast food because we're vegan and they're so vegan friendly.
Well, they were not friendly to me. I guess I should be vegan. Maybe that's the takeaway. Maybe Taco Bell will love me, I'll love me, and God will love me more if I become vegan.
And you'll throw away the fish I sent you. See, it'll be a win-win.
100% that is happening.
You're watch that be the best thing you put in your mouth is that fish. That's what you should have done. See, you were fighting it, Taylor. Well, that was a hilarious story. I can't believe.
Here's what this story proves. I would rather spend an hour and 15 minutes getting Taco Bell than eating that fake fish you sent me.
I feel like I need Taco Bell now. Like
I just completely wrapped everything together and you're talking over me. You didn't even hear the greatest close to the segment ever.
You've been talking for 30 minutes.
All right, that's it. We'll be back later. Maybe Liv will be back. We'll see what happens. You know what we haven't discussed in quite some time? Forte Catholic merch. It's just hanging out in my bedroom. It made it sound weird, but it is where we store the boxes of Forte Catholic t-shirts, hats. We've got two different styles of shirt, one with the logo, one with a bunch of words that have to do with God and Jesus and the radio and that sort of thing. And we've got a Make Thoughts and Fun Again hat. We've got a Forte Catholic logo hat. We've got all kinds of stuff. You can head on over to fortecatholic.com/store. And the cool thing about this is if you buy this merchandise, it means that my kids will get Christmas presents. So win-win. Hold on. My mom's coming. Welcome back, Liv, I guess.
I am your friend. You do realize we're on the same side, right? Like, I mean, you are aware. I'm on Team Taylor.
I think we're friends, but I don't think we're on the same side. So So we only have a little bit of time because you talked too much last segment. So
right, I'll just sit here and blink. I remember my lane again. Sorry, everybody. I apologize.
Do you know Morse code? You can have your own conversation with the listeners on YouTube if you can talk in Morse code with your eyelashes.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I overtook that last segment. It was my fault. I own it.
For sure. So we talked earlier about how like I'm not a manly person anymore. I put all of my baskets when I was young about like being manly was all athletic stuff. Like I was a man, I was going to crush you. And then I can't do the athletic stuff anymore. And now I'm left with nothing because I put all my eggs in one basket.
You're so looking like, swole. I disagree. You walked into the garage and all of us gasped. And we were like, when you came on Saturday to visit me, Edmund, whoever else was here. And we all were like, whoa, Taylor, like you look fantastic. So you can't say that anymore. You've been going to the gym every flipping day.
I know, but what you don't realize is me walking in is my full speed. Like that's as fast as I can go.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about speed. That's fine. That's because you're 30 now, Taylor. You're an old man.
All right. You're talking too much again. So...
Sorry, I'm sorry I gave you a compliment. I apologize. Yes, you look like crap.
Thank you. So what was I saying? I was talking about
Athletic.
I'm not a man. That's what we were talking about.
Right.
So like when Edmund built all this stuff, I felt super insufficient because I couldn't have built any of it. We're in IKEA. I felt lost because I was like, I was just reminded that I don't know how to build anything or do anything manly. So yesterday, the day after I was at your house, I was... It was my wife's birthday. So all I know how to do, I can't do anything manly. So I'm like, okay, I'll go buy her flowers, girly. I'll take her out to lunch, neutral. I'll take her out to dinner later, also neutral, you know. But she went and took a nap, and I took all the kids. So I was being a good dad in the sense that I kept, to me, being a good dad is keeping the kids away from my wife. I don't have to actually pay attention to them or hang out with them, but just keep them away from her. And that's the best dad I can be. So I made the baby cry so much that she fell asleep. So that was perfect. So she was asleep on her bed. And then I take the other two kids outside. I ask my neighbor, who's very manly. I ask him a question I know the answer to that I didn't know it, but I knew that he had one. I was like, hey, do you have a pressure washer? Of course he does. So I go next door. I'm like, you know what, Sam, while Sam's taking a nap, baby's taking a nap, I'm just going to I'm going to pressure wash our driveway and our little sidewalk up to our front door. Because back when I was, you know, young and strapping, I power washed people's houses and like driveways for money. I pressure washed and going through it, I'm like, I get through like an hour and I'm like, this is going to take a lot longer than I planned because I'm like a third of the way through after an hour. I'm like, oh no. So I'm pressure washing this whole thing. And like our driveway was nasty. Like it was very gunky, like just gross. So like it looks tremendous now. Like it looks amazing. So like my wife, of course, wakes up because, you know, she didn't take a 4 hour, near 3.5 hour nap. It took me 3 hours, 3.5 hours to finish this whole project. I'm exhausted by the end. And, you know, like if you work with power tools, like they shake.
Yeah.
So like my right hand was still like shaking
vibrating
for like, yeah, in like an hour after. Yeah. And I'm like, what is happening? So I finally do this manly thing. And my wife was super happy with it. I was happy with it. Like our house, you know, looks a lot better. The whole thing looks nicer. And I felt really good about doing this manly thing. But I did have, you know, you talked at the beginning of the show about coming out of confession, right? So, and I had this one, and it was like, oh, it's a perfect segue for something we'll talk about in 40 minutes whenever you're done talking. So, so I'm power washing, and like, you know, it's going from like, it's essentially black, and it's going to like a nice, like kind of light white gray, right?
Cement. Yeah.
Yeah, cement color.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
new cement color.
Fascinating.
But there's also a lot of things on there. Like there were these like green dot, like I just like stuff from the trees, you know, like were deeper stains. And there was a couple of things that looked like oil that like, you know, most of that black stuff is like oil and car stuff, but like deep, deep, deep stains that I couldn't get out. Like some of them I could get out with a little bit more time and some of them I couldn't get out at all. But still, I mean, still like even with those little stains that are on it now, like it still looks 100%, like 95% better than it did, right? There's still that 5%. And I was like, oh, like this is, I literally I was thinking about it. And it wasn't even like a thing like for the show. It was again, like God trying to show me love because I ruined it the night before at Taco Bell, you know, like, yeah. But it was this whole thing of like, Taylor, this driveway has kind of like been your soul recently. Mm. Very dark, very, very dark. And like, I really want to do the power washing on your soul. Right. And like, when that happens, it's just like the gunk comes off. Wow. Right. But then you realize like, oh, there's some other stains that are harder to get out. Like the stuff from the tree, like sap, greenery stuff. Like if I push the pressure washer, like literally all the way to the ground, like I wouldn't even see it go away. I would literally have to put it all the way to the ground and pick it up. And then those stains were gone. And then there were other stains that were like, literally, like no matter what I did, I couldn't get them out. There's a few of those. So I was like, that's the spiritual life. Like I'm really gunky and I need to go to confession. And going to confession is getting all the gunk off, like all that, like that top layer. And that's 95% of the work. Right. But then there's still these other things that like you need to focus on a little more, like the gunk from the trees where it's like, you know, this is after confession. Like I'm the driveway with a little bit of gunk still on it. Like I still have my connections to sin. I pray for the grace to never sin again, knowing that I'm going to, you know, like that's that gunk, you know, and it's like that's going to take some work. That's going to take the prayer. That's going to take growing in virtue. That's going to take all of that stuff. And then there's those other things that are like things that aren't going to heal, like those like deep, deep, deep scars where it's like this is like core wounds, it's like experiences, things that are not going to heal. But what I don't realize is so often in my spiritual life, I focus on the gunk. I focus on the scars. Right. When if I take a step back, it's like 95% of this is better when I choose to go to confession, choose to pray, choose to live a holy life. And I think that was God showing me again that he loves me. Just keeping Taco Bell out of it this time.
Well, you make a good argument for purgatory as well. Like, you know, when you're trying to explain to people why purgatory exists, that even though, you know, you have been cleaned and saved and all the things and forgiven, that you still have to go through a purging. Because like we're talking about those deep core wound things, because you can't go to heaven without being perfect. I mean, heaven's perfect. God can't be in sin. That's why he, you know, that's why Mary was the Immaculate Conception. He can't survive. So I think that's a really great analogy. Now you got something to talk to those boys about.
Yeah. And you just solved what my purgatory is going to be. Purgatory for me is going to be my eyes being pressure washed. That's today's show. I'm Taylor Schroll. That's Olivia Newton-John. I'll be back next week. Say it. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. Just another reminder, if you didn't listen 30 minutes ago, please like, subscribe, rate the show, comment if you're watching on YouTube, leave a rating if you are listening on podcast. It would mean a ton to us. And if you like the work that Forte Catholic is doing, you can always support us with a tax-deductible gift over at fortecatholic.com/donate. Thank you guys so much. God bless, and I'll see you soon.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.